Good morning, good morning. It's Brenda Eshin Shoshana back with another episode of Zen Wisdom for your everyday life. Good morning. Such a foggy, misty, slightly rainy day. I happen to love days like that. Wonderful Zazen in the rain, for me anyway. What I've learned is that what is Zazen practice itself? Sometimes we read and read and study. Very often we do many other practices, religions, and even Zazen, trying to understand intellectually. What am I doing? Where am I going? What's the purpose? Is it smart? Is it dopey? Am I wasting my time? That's a very big question that comes up for many, many, many practitioners. And we want something substantial, an answer, a direction. And some practices, including in some Zen practices, seem to offer that, to give that, seem to. When we work on our koans, we have a strong feeling, oh, once I solve all my koans, that's it. Then I'll be there. It's a very strong illusion. And it does keep us going, keep us sitting and practicing for many, many years. It can anyway. Until we realize that the real koan is, what am I doing? It's right here. The answer is right here. Right within the koan, right within the question, waits the answer. Very, very fascinating. Of course, we think that the question and the answer are separate, or that all of this talk is just mumbo jumbo, nonsense. Someone wrote that everything I said was just nonsense, mumbo jumbo in effect. And in a way, that's true. They're right. Everything we, from the Zen perspective, from the true Zen perspective, all this talk is mumbo jumbo nonsense, leading us somehow astray, keeping us from just sitting down ourselves and practicing and finding out our own answers in our own way. Now, that's important too, because the answer that you are seeking, it comes to you and to each of us very differently. Very differently. We're not going to receive it in the way that our neighbor received it. And we may not even receive the same response at all. It is one truth, one answer, but it comes in so many different ways. The call is received in so many different ways, and it's responded to also very differently. And in Zen practice, that is the heart of it. That's good. It's not chaos. It's not confusion. It's good, because this is not an intellectual practice. That's not what it is. We need to know what we're doing on some levels, and that is not what we're looking for, intellectual schemas and answers. And we're not feeding our brain. We're feeding another part of ourselves entirely. This sitting is feeding our heart and our being. And when we do take action, it comes also from a very different part of ourselves. And yes, as we sit and sit throughout the years, because this is not a 1, 2, 3 quickie practice either. Well, get it and it's done with, never done with, because it's life itself. Sitting practice is entering the stream of life itself. Breathing, sitting, hurting. Sometimes we hurt a lot in the body, sometimes in the heart, sometimes in the mind. That's all part of it. Whatever arises is part of it. So what we're agreeing to, when we agree to this practice, we're really agreeing to be available and present to our own life and to our own experience of life. Not categorizing it or labeling it or trying to understand it intellectually. Now, I really love philosophy, and I'm not rejecting that. I'm not saying, oh, well, that's just nonsense. No, it's not nonsense. It has a role, a beautiful role. It's not that different parts of us don't have a place and are not very important. But it's one thing, excuse me, one thing to deliberately sit down and think and consider and contemplate. And it's another to be accosted by endless random thoughts, which we all are, and to believe them and let them lead our lives. That's a very different matter. That's not really thinking even. It's being thought. The thoughts that come to us randomly, persistently, and often very painfully, they use us. We don't choose them. We don't. Good philosophy or good anything is like sitting down for a good sitting and focusing and concentrating. And it's different. So when we say we don't feed our intellect, this practice is not designed to do that. And so many people, or not many, but whoever, might think, well, this is worthless. What are you doing? Mumbo jumbo nonsense. And it can seem that way indeed. When we initially read the koans, or the mandos, the questions between the teachers and the students over the centuries, they're very inscrutable. We can't figure them out with our rational mind, or the mind that schemes all the time or wants something for itself. Gimme, gimme, gimme. Gimme the answer. Gimme this. Gimme that. Me, 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 me. Gimme, gimme, gimme. Zazen stops that. Zazen stops a life built around me, 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 gimme, gimme, gimme. Tell me, tell me, tell me. That part of ourselves goes into abeyance during Zazen and perhaps after that as well. Because the little me that's always dissatisfied and unhappy and critical, that part of ourselves which we call ego, that part of ourselves enters a larger playing field when we do Zazen. It has more space to roam. It isn't confined, because when we sit, we don't really pay eventually that much attention to it. It comes, it goes. We see it for what it is, and maybe that's the whole purpose of just years of Zazen, is to be with the moment and as it is for you now. It will be different 2 days later. Cannot help but be different. You know, in answering these koans, which the Rinzai sect works with koans very intensively, it was very interesting. A koan, the teacher can say, yes, yes, you can pass a koan one day. Bring an answer that you passed that koan, yes. And 2 days later, if you come back with the same answer, you didn't pass it. No, he'll say no, no, no. Now, I always found that very, very beautiful. Something that's right, that's on target, that's clear one day. If you bring the same answer 2 days later, it won't be right because 2 days have passed. You're different. The answer is different. The world is different. It's not pulling along the same old cart behind us. We're open to the freshness, to the newness. You see that also in these mandos, these questions and answers. Sometimes they just one day it's one thing, then it's the opposite the next day, the answer. And they're both right at that moment in time. That's a tremendous teaching and something very alien to the way we live, because we feel, I got it, I found it, that's it. That's it forever. But then we're not open to what a question really is and what a response really is and what forever means even. Because not only in Zazen are we so aware that each day is very different, each breath is very different. Each moment is very different. Each person is very different. And as day by day, and as we become alive to that, it could be a little scary at first, but it's also a great relief, because there's always that flow of freshness, of newness. And if you're very sad and upset, it will leave. It has to always newness, always freshness. If you're thrilled and clinging to something, enjoy it for the moment, because that will also change, change, change. And that change is when we become very familiar with it and accustomed to it. It's very beautiful, very comforting, actually, and interesting. Most of us get our security by keeping everything so-called the same. That's almost going against the stream of life itself. And then when really a big change comes, we're really lost. We don't know how to manage it, what to do, how to handle it. We're shocked. So one of the great beauties of Zazen practice is finding the beauty of change and finding the wonder of it, and really, 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 I'm not going to say accepting it, but I'm going to say be it, live it, know it intimately. When we say we know things intimately here, we mean we become it. We don't think about it, but we actually embody it in our very own lives. And that is a huge difference between Zazen practice and figuring something out, knowing it intellectually, giving you a clear-cut answer. We want clear-cut answers. We want a clear-cut path. If I do 1, 2, and 3, then I'll get 4. I know where I'm going. But Zazen is based on the fact that we don't know where we're going. And we can do 1, 2, and 3, and 4, and then all of a sudden 7 comes. We live in a very unconfined world, basically, although it might look different. Anyway, in terms of our experience, that's how it rolls up. And Zazen harmonizes us with that, makes us very much in alignment with the moment and the changes. Of course, and we have our expectations, inevitably. Inevitably. And some of them do appear in our life, and many don't. And when we sit, we can see that process for what it is. So, you know, we're not tangled up in grief, in resentment. In a sense, I've been disappointed, I've been betrayed, I've been deceived. No, nothing has deceived us except our wrong or our erroneous perception of the way things roll. How are they rolling along? Rolling, rolling. So it's very beautiful to share just some of the very basic principles of our practice, because deep down, everybody knows this is so. But to look at it and to live it, that's a whole different life. Rather than to fight against it and try to make everything so solid and inevitable, and I'm going to hold on. And I have a very dear, dear, dear friend, and I just heard a very special person, and he's been practicing, oh my goodness, maybe 40 years now, 50 years, I don't know, but he's quite ill now. I'm getting emails about him and updates. And then I heard that, you know, medically speaking, they've determined that he has maybe 12 to 16 months left to live. Oh, see, that's quite a shocking announcement. But it's even more shocking to expect that. Even they acknowledge it, it might be later, it might be sooner. You know, it gives us a sense of some kind of security around a very vast event, to put numbers around it, to put a fence around it. Well, this is how long, so you get ready and blah, 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 come and visit him. And it has a kind of a practical value. However, in the deepest truth, there's something way beyond that, way beyond that. practice isn't measuring it out month by month, day by day. Although I'm saying there's nothing wrong with that, and it could be very beneficial on a practical level to do that. But in his own mind and heart, and those who care for him, time is different. One true moment together can encompass everything. So that's something we leave it open when we sit. Leave it open to anything could happen, in fact. Unless we don't allow anything to happen and we become very rigid. This is how it's got to be because this is what I expect. There are miraculous healings that happen. And other things happen as well. So anyway, thank you very much for letting me share all these years with you all about these very simple everyday life principles of Zen and how can Zen practice and how they really make our lives more harmonious, more alive. This is not to replace any system, philosophical system or religious system or any system. It's not about a system. Is about something very different than that. And does it make sense to the intellectual mind? No, it doesn't, and it cannot. Sometimes it does, but it doesn't. On the deep, when we're looking for our deepest answers, they will never be given to you in a formulation like that. Not the deepest answers. You know, somebody might say, how long do you have to live? And an answer, a good Zen, a Zen answer would be, I'm alive now. Here I am. Long, short, I'm alive now. Here, this moment, this very moment. So thank you for listening again. I appreciate it very much. And I look forward to talking to you soon. Also, I am going to be opening another podcast in a few weeks called Turn the Page, which is just another form of opening up our life. Turn the page. Let's turn the page and see what's next. Okay. Take good care and have a beautiful day. The podcast URL is www.zenwisdomtoday.com. And if you need to reach or you want to, just send an email. Reach me about anything. My email is topspeaker@yahoo.com. If you'd like to, you can see more about Turn the Page. It's a blog, and the podcast will go on that. You can just go to turnthepage.live. That is the URL for the blog, which is coming to life now. Have a beautiful day. Bye-bye.